Well, I would say it was mixed growing up in Lexington. One, I have to say, I grew up very privileged. So in terms of class and social status, I've led a very good life. But at the same time, and that's what I think makes it strange to be Jewish currently, or maybe even in the past, is that you can experience some privilege, but at the same time, not fully feel part of the of being in Kentucky. That do I really belong here? So, when I was growing up, I experienced, you know, neighborhood kids yelled to me that I had killed Jesus, and you talked to a number of Jews who had the same experience. And I remember running home, and my mother lighting a cigarette, and just this sense that adults were saying this to kids, and are we fully secure in this environment? And, you know, I don't look like a typical Kentuckian, so when I was growing up, people would measure my nose, or they would, you know, even to this day, people will say, "Are you from New York?" And I'll be like, "No, I'm from here." So this sense that, do you really belong here? And being put on by people outside of your community, but also by yourself. Like, do I really belong here?
And I know moving here from outside the state, outside the country, it's not easy to integrate into, I guess, what's perceived as the mainstream.
One thing that I've heard in particular from Arab women who are Muslim is the extent to which they love Lexington. And they love it because they are so close-knit. Their community is so tight. They're together a lot. They socialize together a lot. It's very international. So you have people who aren't Arabs, like Pakistanis, with Palestinians, Egyptians, Indians. So very international and close-knit community. And what I've seen is that in the past, the Jewish community was the same way when it was really filled with immigrants, very close-knit and tight.
It's one thing noticing similarities amongst the people that you live with and that you've grown up with and you're familiar with, but you began to notice yourself similarities between Jews and the Islamic population here, and that became the basis of the book that you wrote.
Yes, that's definitely.
How'd you make that step?
It was my father, and I tell this story a lot. My father taught for years at Transylvania, and he befriended numerous students, and he befriended members of one Palestinian Christian family, the Ackles, and they kept sending family member after family member to Transy. And I became really close with Mary Ackle, who now lives in Haifa and comes back and forth between Israel and Palestine and Kentucky. And then I became really close with her father, Musa Ackle, or Sido, which is Arabic for grandfather. And he lived on the edge of UK's campus in an apartment that he owned, apartment building that he owned. And I would go see him every Friday afternoon when I was a grad student. And I would have tea with him, and he would tell me all these stories about – he told me about peddling goods throughout the South and how he would go to these southern mansions and they would be so impressed with him because he could speak Arabic and English and German and he had really fine, lovely goods. So I realized that his story was very similar to my Lithuanian grandfather, who I never knew, who peddled goods throughout the South and tried to make a living enough that, you know, you could eventually open a store. And I realized that it wasn't just about our two families, but there was a larger story about Arabs and Jews coming to places.
Was it the immigration experience, the experience of coming to the United States?
Yes, I would say that in particular is my focus on the immigration experience and what it's like, particularly for Arabs and Jews, because most Arabs and Jews who came to this country did not end up in central Kentucky. You know, a lot of Jews are in the New York area, a lot of Arabs are in the Detroit area. And so I feel in particular that when we came to Kentucky, that we could see those similarities between us. We could see that we were peddling around the same time that we were the non-miners and mining communities in eastern Kentucky, that we were the shop owners or the theater owners. And yes, I believe it was most definitely that immigrant experience that brings out how much we have in common.
You focus down even further, though, and you talk about the shared experience of women from both groups. Talk to me about the unique nature of women from these two populations.
What I'm trying to show is that through stories you can see these similarities and how our lives have overlapped. And I think women's stories in particular offer an opening, a possibility to see that shared humanity, that somehow just, you know, the day-to-day life that we lead offers some opening to see, to have a sympathetic view of one another.
Is it as simple as talking about family?
Maybe in part. I would say it's more than that. What I find really interesting, so for instance, in one chapter I have my grandmother, Rose Musnick, with Rose Rawadi, who was Lebanese Christian in Winchester, Kentucky, and my grandmother was in Versailles, Kentucky. They came around the same time. They were raising kids in the 1920s in small town Kentucky, and they knew they were foreign in some sense. My grandmother was not an immigrant. She was from New York City and married a Lithuanian man. But there was a sense that both these women, and you have to remember this was the time when the Klan was really active in the 1920s in Kentucky and throughout the South, and that these were women very aware that they were raising kids who were not like others around them, and that they had these incredible observational skills and wanted to make sure their families were okay.
So they noticed things mainly because it was important to their survival.
I think so. I think so. Yes, I think so.
What you do in your book is you present a series of stories from women who have shared this kind of experience as well. How did you gather your raw material for the book?
Well, with Jews, it was pretty easy since I'm Jewish and, you know, I knew a lot of Jews and I've gone around the state. With Arab Christians, also, it wasn't very hard. So I went to Teresa Isaac and her family and some Lebanese families in Louisville. And there was a sense that we already knew each other. We knew of each other. And even when I went to see Teresa Isaac's aunt and uncle, they had a daughter who was a judge, and they were immediately saying, oh, your aunt worked on our daughter's campaign. There was a sense of knowing each other, so that was very easy. With Arab Muslim women, you know, that was entering a whole new community. And in some ways, I look back and I think, oh, my gosh, was I presumptuous to think this sort of Jewish woman could come in and say, be in my book. I want to chronicle your stories, was really presumptuous.
You did interviews? You took their stories and you wrote those stories up for your readers.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and I'm a sociologist by training, so and this work really is more oral histories. I moved into the world of oral histories, which the big difference for me in terms of oral history and sociology is that I use people's names and faces, which I didn't do in sociology. But I took all these interviews, and I followed really traditional sociological practice where I transcribed every interview and coded them, and I looked for themes, and I brought them together and saw where there was really overlap between them.
But it's not really an academic book, is it?
No, I hope not. I hope not.
But what you're saying is you applied scientific methods in the collecting of this content and putting it together, but at the end, you had to to become an author. You had to become a storyteller.
Yes, most definitely. Yes, and I hope I've been successful at that.
And you must have met some very interesting people along the way. Are these folks that you will continue to have a relationship with?
Yes. In fact, at one point while I was in the process of doing this book, I had a brunch at my house for people I had interviewed, for Arabs and Jews. And I loved it that Teresa Isaac said when she was leaving, she said, you had to yell to get your point across. And I thought that was just wonderful because we were talking so loudly and we were so animated that you had to yell to get your point across. But yes, I keep in touch with many of these. They've just become part of my life.
In a sense, you're talking about the Kentucky experience all the same. We talk about the American experience. The experience that the Jews and Arabs have had in the Commonwealth is also part of the Kentucky experience. By being here in Kentucky, it shaped their environment and shaped the way those communities developed and the reaction and response to one another.
Most definitely. And I like to think this book confronts stereotypes. And one of those stereotypes that I'm trying to confront, you know, Kentucky, if you leave Kentucky, it doesn't have the best reputation as being a sophisticated place. And one thought about Kentucky, or sort of popular rendering of Kentucky, is that everybody's white here, that minorities don't live here. And so I'm trying to show that, yes, there are minorities here. And we're doing okay. I remember when I was doing this work, I found a blog or something on the web written by a Hollywood person who came to Kentucky, and they were Jewish, and they came for a day, and they just, you know, it was like deliverance. Like, oh my God, these people have never seen a Jew before, and I'm here to say, well, yes, Kentuckians have, and we are Kentuckians.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Appreciate you making the trip.
Thank you. I appreciate it.